The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I have a poem I want to read for you, Adam.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A little bit of slam poetry?
A little bit. And by the way, it just has like a general rule. I don't think poems are chill.
You don't think poems are chill?
Nah, they're like
poetry?
Nah, they're just like short stories, but too short. And like, there's poems that are like 8 words long and they're famous. Like, you can't be famous off of 8 words. Get out of here. But this poem spoke to me, and I think it will speak to what we're talking about today. The show, it's called Be Drunk.
That's the poem name?
Yeah, it's a good name. You have to always be drunk. That's all there is to it. It's the only way. So as to not feel the horrible burden of time that breaks your back and bends you to the earth, you have to be continually drunk. But on what? Wine? Poetry? Or virtue? As you wish, but be drunk. And if sometimes on the steps of a palace or the green grass of a ditch, in the mournful solitude of your room, you wake again, drunkenness already diminishing or gone, ask the wind, the wave, the star, the bird, the clock, everything that is flying, everything that is groaning, everything that is rolling, everything that is singing, everything that is speaking, ask what time it is. And the wind, wave, star, bird, clock, etc. will answer you. It is time to be drunk, so as to not be the martyred slaves of time. Be drunk. Be continually drunk on wine, on poetry, or on virtue, as you wish.
Wow.
That's by a guy named Chuck.
Chuck. What a fitting
name. He wrote it
in
2003, and I found it on the depths of the internet.
So, I have a fun fact.
I would love that.
That was a beautiful poem with wonderful wordplay.
Sure.
The shortest poem ever written is just the letter M in lowercase.
I hate that so much.
Yep. So,
what does it mean, man?
You know, M.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why
it's,
I don't like
the shortest poem, according to the Guinness Book of Records, is a one-letter poem by Aram Saroyan.
That person's name is much longer than the poem they wrote.
Yes, comprising a four-legged version of the letter M.
Oh, there are like legs and stuff?
No, it's literally just the letter M.
I hate that. I hate it. You know what? I'm going to write a poem. Okay, new Guinness, you hearing this? They're not. I'm going to write the new shortest poem. You ready? Here it is. Silence. It was silence in that moment. There was actually nothing. And what does it mean? You know, could mean so much, but it actually what it means is nothing. And that's like the whole thing of it, you know?
Mm. So I'm reading this a little bit more and it is just a play on the letter M. I'll read the poem in full now.
Okay.
Adam, Haddam, end poem.
So not just the letter M.
The name Adam, like me.
Sure.
And then the word had, H-A-D, with an apostrophe, course. E-M, period. Adam, Haddam.
Huh.
Yeah. It's
what
called Lines on the Antiquity of Microbes.
Okay, I've changed my mind completely. That poem slaps, and I love poems.
Honestly, it's also referred to as just the word fleas.
Changed my mind again. I hate him.
I don't like this.
I don't like that one bit. You know, Adam, life comes at you in segments. And also, by the way, segments are what this podcast is missing. Also, a common thing I say on this podcast is blank is what this podcast is missing.
Sure.
I'm don't think I'm not aware of that. I am.
Still working on that theme song.
Never going to happen. And so segments is my next one that I'm going to try. And we're going to do a segment this week called Shows and Movies We've Been Watching This Week. The name of the segment does need some workshopping for sure. But as this podcast was sort of built upon a foundation of television and movies, I figured even on ones that we're not talking about that or those mediums, we should at least like touch on what we've been watching, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
What have you been watching?
Holiday Baking Championship.
Okay. Describe that in detail.
So it is a holiday baking championship.
This is a lot like the poem, I'm now realizing.
This is Adam, you know?
Adam, dude.
No, so it's on, I believe it's on HBO Max or now Max. And it is a baking competition where bakers are baking various goods of different themes. So they have a Halloween baking championship, which was very good. Mm. And now we're going into holiday. So they just did Thanksgiving and now we're going into Christmas. And Hannah and I watch this every week. It's lovely. It's similar to Great British Bake Off, but not quite as sweet and endearing.
So worse.
Yeah, I definitely don't like the people as much as I do the Great British Bake Off, which is in its final episode this week.
I know. Tomorrow.
I know. So
I know.
That. And then I also rewatched Oppenheimer in 4K Ultra HD.
Whoa.
Because I purchased it, and boy, is it pretty.
Yeah. Did it blow your gourd, dude?
It was unreal. So as you know, and as some of our listeners may know, we did go see this in 70 millimeter 15 perf IMAX film in Providence, and it was glorious. But this was another level of clarity. So now we saw a huge screen. Obviously, IMAX is gigantic. It's like three stories tall. But this was on my home television. I have a 55-inch OLED Samsung TV. It's a dope TV. The shots of Cillian Murphy, like, up close were so... It was, like, the most tack-sharp thing I've ever seen on television.
I really like when they zoom in on all of his pores one by one.
Oh, man. You know? But it was... It was a great experience to rewatch it again, not being so enamored with the size of the screen, but actually able to watch it normally and hear things. So I picked up on things here and there. I felt a little bit more enveloped with the whole story because I was in a more comfortable setting generally. So I'm all for the home movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a home movie guy. I like subtitles, and you can't get subtitles in IMAX. You could, I guess, if you asked politely, but I have never had the chance to.
Right.
Because I just don't know the IMAX guys. I don't know who owns the IMAX. So,
well, I don't know if IMAX does it, but I know a lot of the movie theaters have like the accessibility subtitle machines you can get.
Oh, so true.
Which is pretty cool.
I need them because I can't hear things.
But what have you been watching, dude?
This week, I have been watching lots of stuff. So we watched Gen V, the offshoot show.
Oh, yes, you talked to me about this.
The Boys.
Yeah.
And it is a show of, you know, what if superheroes were Hogwarts, but in the Boys universe.
What if they were wizards and witches?
Right, but like in the Boys universe, so like gross, but in a cool way.
Sure.
And it is a link between seasons 3 and 4, and it has a whole new cast of characters of late teens, early 20s, you know, just fighting to be rank one, the rank one superhero in the school. But as it is in the Boys universe, there are some dastardly dealings, some Vought-based mischief that they are unraveling throughout the season, and they have weird powers. That's kind of the best part, I would argue, about the Boys, how weird the powers can be. Like, the main character has the ability to bloodbend, and if you...
What?
If you are an Avatar The Last Airbender fan and know, like, airbending, waterbending, earthbending...
Bloodbending.
Fire. This lady can bend, but only blood, and that makes it real weird.
Oh, weird.
Gross. And
is it gory?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it gets gross.
Okay.
In the best way, but She does have to like maim herself to be able to do her bloodbending with her I'll call it like her homemade juice, the stuff inside her body. And every time she does it, I have to look away because
really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy lately, which is a show about surgery. And I realized very quickly, like, oh, stop doing that. Oh, it's all about surgery. They're never going to stop doing that.
You've never been a very gore, like a fan of gore generally, have
you? No. I love, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino's entire movieography.
That's different, though.
I know.
That's like Fountains, very akin to the original, it's more like... So, Kurosawa knives. Stuff.
Yeah, it's sharp objects doing the thing that sharp stuff does. You know,
yeah, cut flesh.
Don't want it. Don't. Hey, not for me, but still a very good show. Yeah. And if you're into The Boys and haven't watched it, I think it's really great because you know, it's in the same universe and a few. Characters from The Boys show up. I won't say who because pretty that cool. would spoil it. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I also watched a show on Netflix called The Nearly Normal Family, which
never heard of that.
Is like a 5-part or 6-part limited series that is based off of a Norwegian book, and it is actually a Norwegian show. And we watched the dubbed version, which. We came to the conclusion very quickly, like, okay, we're going to watch 5 minutes of this. And if the mouth's moving and not doing the words they're supposed to do freaks us out enough, then we're going to stop. But it
freaks you out enough.
Yeah, like your mouth's not doing what the words are. So, but find out, nah, we were fine. Past like 5 minutes, you kind of just forget that that's. Yeah,
I was going to say, did you watch Squid Game? Because that's how that was.
We watched Squid Game with subtitles. If given the opportunity, usually, we will watch the subbed version of shows.
Oh, so they didn't even have a subbed version.
I bet they did, but it's not like I pressed play and then I put the remote down and it was over. You know, me grabbing the remote, that couldn't happen anymore. So
sure,
it became not possible. And so, you know, but anyway, it was fine. And it's a show. About a lady whose life is going real bad and her family's lives are going real bad. And she meets a man and the man is the light of her life. And then it turns out her life was actually, she didn't know it, continuously being real bad. And it is.
It's a murder mystery, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a murder. There's a murder.
Okay. Murder mysteries are cool. Did you watch Glass Onion?
Of course.
And Knives Out. Those are great. Love those.
Oh, yeah. That is not the vibe of a Nearly Normal Family, I'll be honest with you.
I don't imagine so.
Those kind of they're playful in a way.
Mm.
Nearly Normal Family is not playful. It is intense and sad.
Yeah. Oh, it's sad?
There's remember when I was telling you about this girl, how her life was going real bad?
Sure.
It is not going real bad in a fun way.
Oh, no. I mean, not that there's any fun version of that generally, but to be sad is like a whole other level of emotion.
Yeah, no, it's a bummer. But I would recommend it if, again, I would give it 5 minutes and see what your feelings are. Also watched the new Mike Birbiglia special, The Old Man in the Pool.
Oh. I'm not up on stand-up comedy specials, I'll be honest with you, so.
I mean, I
didn't even have any idea that he was coming out with a new special.
Yeah, no, it's like a one-man show. Yeah, it's like he's the kind of stand-up who calls it a one-man show, and then you start watching it, and you're like, okay, well, to call it a one-man show, like, prove it. Like, prove that it's not just you doing stand-up, because that's a stand-up special, my dude. Mm. You can't just put a special label on it and call it something. Now it was. And... It was pretty good.
I like
him
too.
I like him as well. I like his podcast. I think it's called Working It Out or Working Out, something like that. And this was all. He's the kind of comic who is like joke, joke, joke. Sad sentence, silence.
Yeah. Yes. And That was very evident in his last special I saw, the one with all the toys that fell from the ceiling at the end.
Oh my God, yeah, I love that part.
That was a great special. But like, it was pretty like real in a lot of cases.
Right. I don't think it's my favorite stand-up special of the year. I still think Shane Gillis's Beautiful Dogs takes that as probably the best stand-up special this year. But it was up there. It was pretty good. Neil Brennan's Blocks as well. I don't know if you guys have watched that, but that's also super. But also, Neil Brennan's Blocks is very much in the same space as Old Man in the Pool. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Sad sentence. Silence.
I like that description because it's exactly how it plays out.
And then I watched Bye Bye Barry. Sam was on her phone the whole time because she was 0% into it. Bye Bye Barry, a documentary about Barry Sanders, a running back from the 90s and early 2000s who was very, very good, but on a losing team. And that's a bit of a tragedy. Because he was so good at football. And then he decided to quit, like, early. He was going to definitely get the rushing record, but he just was like, I'm done, I think. And so it's a mystery, but not much of a, like, a murder. It's like a, oh, why'd you stop doing it, Barry? And he's very calm, cool, shy to a degree.
Mm.
And so I think that was an interesting story.
What team did he play for? Was he on the Jets?
No, he was on the Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair.
A historically bad franchise.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I hope that changes. What is something that you have in the kind, maybe the back of your mind that you want to watch in this upcoming week?
Well, now that you said Mike Birbiglia has a new special, I'd like to check that out. Because, again, I like him a lot. And it was the same with... oh my God, Bo Burnham, when he came out with Inside, oh, you were just God. Like, you got to watch it. And I'm like, okay. And then it was life-changing.
Right.
Little life-changing for quite a few people, turns
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were all stuck inside, like yeah. the name yeah. of the special.
It was great. You know, that goes beyond just like a comedian performance. It was like truly, to a lot of degrees, a work of art in yeah. both the way he filmed it and... his obviously his music creation and production and the way he utilized all of his lights and stuff, being an only person in that show was pretty amazing.
There was no other stand-up thing I ever had to sell to somebody like, it's brutal. It's brutal.
That's how I told my buddy Mitch. I was like, you gotta watch it. It's tough, but
it is hard to get through, but you're gonna like it.
Yeah, you're gonna like it a lot. And sure enough, you know, every person that I encouraged to watch it or watched it after I did were like, this was unreal. And I was like, yep, yeah, that pretty much hits the nail on the head.
And then we got out of COVID and he apparently left his long-term relationship and started dating Phoebe Bridgers. And the world is, well, they were in shambles about it. I live in a kind of a Swiftie bubble, right?
Sure, like, sure.
I'm on the edge of the Swiftie bubble where I hear everything that's going on in there, like an echo around a corner. So I'm not like right in the epicenter of it. But like, you know, today some Swiftie knowledge dropped and I got an essay about it. And it is boy. Interesting because she has like she had a song that she put out today where her last album, everyone was like, is this a breakup album? Is it not? And then it was publicly announced that she broke up with this dude who she was going out with for a long period of time. And a few of the songs, everyone was kind of asking, like, when was this written? Because if this was written on a specific day, then it's not a breakup album. But if it was written after that day, it definitely was. Yeah, I know I'm getting a lot of pushback from you right now, but as a person who has
There's nothing I care less about.
Yeah, I can't say that about me. I do care slightly. And you know, it was a banner day for Swiftie-based knowledge. What I will say
day.
On something I want to watch this week,
yeah.
I have not been keeping up with Rick and Morty at all.
Neither have I. I haven't watched any of the new stuff.
Apparently, there's a episode that mentions or is about disc golf. Our buddy James, everyone knows that guy.
Well... you got to watch that.
I have to watch it. I mean, it's within the show, that is, within an amazing amount of turmoil, the creator being fired and the voices of both Rick and Morty being recast and people deciding whether they care or not about that. I don't. And
but at the same time, yeah,
to be fair, I'm not watching it anymore, though. So what happened? You know, did it just get worse? There you go. Probably.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, another show that I want to watch. It probably won't be by next week, but it definitely will be by the end of the year. As I told you, it will be Loki season two.
I sure do wish you would watch that sooner.
Yeah. Well, I'll try.
I want to do like an episode about it and stuff, dude.
Sure. Yeah. It was 10 episodes, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be coming in the future because I will watch that. We'll do a show on it.
December is a tough month. Something that's been said in my work life a lot is like there's 20 workable days in December. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's not, it's like the smallest amount of work days in any month. And everyone is talking about it like it's a really bad thing. And I always have to react like that. You're right. That is terrible. A bad thing. For money, I get it. For money, that is a bad. If the goal is to make money, which I suppose capitalism, bad. But for like other reason. And before we get to our main segment this week, which will be a lot of fun.
Sure.
I just want to bring this up very quickly. After a long, long time, you and I and our D&D group are getting back together on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm so excited. It's weird. I miss my character.
He's such an asshole.
I know. I like him so much. Because he's me. But like, I miss Montaigne St. James. I love that guy. And I like how he's mean to everyone and you just have to deal with it because it's the character and they're just total BS. Yeah. It's just something I made up to be mean to everyone.
I wanted to be mean to you. Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to it too. It's the first time we're doing like an afternoon session.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like an early afternoon session. Yeah. And it should be good. I always look forward to hanging with the boys and potentially dying in battle. Oh, so yeah.
You can't die, dude. You are a pirate.
I'm a pirate.
Uses smoke manipulation out of very cool pipe.
Pipe, cigar, whatever. Cigar,
whatever apparatus you want.
Yeah.
To defeat your foes.
Yeah. And I have like electric smoke, I think Chad said.
What? What does that mean?
So I have a spell. I can't remember what it is, but it has electric powers that come out of the smoke. Like that's how we built it into the lore.
That spell not being called electric smoke, opportunity missed.
Yeah, it might very well be called electric smoke.
That's a dope name. I love that. I mean, the name of the episode that you're listening to right now, the audience, is Trust the Process based on this next segment.
Sure.
But it should be called electric smoke. And honestly,
electric smoke, trust the process.
Yeah. You're right. Everyone knew that. They're in the future, so they know we made that choice. But
yes,
now you heard us organically make that choice,
and that's the creative process, baby.
Yeah, and the process of picking titles that someone reads and has no clue what that's about, and no one will listen because of it.
Amazing,
so cool. So you actually pitched this segment, so I'd like you to describe why you did and what it's about.
So trust the process. Everyone, at least I think everyone, has some sort of cathartic process or a therapeutic process that they may go through that just brings them peace or happiness or whatever it is, just some sort of process. And I'll give you an example.
Love that.
One of my processes that I really enjoy doing is making coffee with a pour over Chemex in a water kettle. Like I love the process of, at one point, I used to hand grind the beans. Ooh. I would put the filter in the Chemex. I would prime the filter. I would pour the beans in. I would heat the water up. I would, bloom the coffee beans. And then I would do the pour over process and swirl, 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 wait, 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 swirl, 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 wait, wait, wait. And I would go through the whole process. And I would do that every weekend when I worked every day in the office when I wasn't hybrid. I've since kind of reeled in the amount of pour over that I do, but I do still do it on a pretty average basis. And I just really love that process of creating something instead of just putting a pot in a Keurig, you know?
Yeah, so I just so really that's like my the sentence.
Process.
Reeled in the pour over.
I reeled in the reeled amount of pour over.
I reeled it.
I mean, it's a lot of acidity. Let's be honest. I was eating Tums a lot.
I have a poem about coffee. Are you ready?
I cannot wait.
Coffee, coffee, coffee. Coffee, coffee, coffee. Everyone shut up. Coffee.
Dunkin' Hill's coffee.
Dunkin' Hill's coffee. Coffee, 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 coffee. I didn't know that poems could have... Yeah, I didn't know poems could have star ratings. That has a 1 star. That's not good.
Wait, the one you read?
Yeah.
The 1 star? That's a great poem. I don't know what you're talking about. And then I just sang you the Dunkin' Hill's coffee jingle. Jingle.
Dringle, dude.
Dringle, drinking that coffee. From Metalocalypse. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I missed that
Another
show.
Another great show. Yeah.
So when you pitched this, I thought, like, what is a routine that gives me solace? Mm-hmm. What is, because there are some people who detest routine, who shy away, or not even shy away from it, just like keep it at arm's length purposely, yeah. Because the moment they feel as though they're doing something that they might feel is redundant, I, in those moments, especially if it's things I really like, I feel calm and better for it. And
yeah, it definitely has to be a voluntary routine. It's
I love
not
your made up words.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm a weird, like, what's that
poet?
Website that used to have the like non words with descriptions? Oh, what the? Oh, Urban Dictionary. Yeah, Urban Dictionary. Like an urban dictionary.
You are a walking urban dictionary.
But yeah, it has to be a voluntary routine. It can't be something that you're forced to do, because that's not the, finding peace in it.
Mm. The first thing I thought of was getting into my car. I don't know why.
That's please, like, walk us through your steps.
Okay, so I get in my car, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I put my water bottle down. My water bottle is too big for the cup holder, which is something I have to rectify.
But you try every time just to be sure.
It's never going to fit. I learned that. So it gets to the passenger seat and I take it and I just shove it. I shove it so hard so it doesn't move. But I still do that thing when I go around a corner to the right where I put my hand on it like I'm putting my hand on the chest of a child. I don't want to get whiplash.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
No probs. And in that scenario, I was your mom. Anyway, I then reach over and I get my sunglasses, and I have regular glasses because I'm a blind person. And so, and then I clean both of them. This is now I'm just realizing sort of an OCD manic kind of thing. Anyway.
As you explain it.
Yeah, I'm learning over time. I put those on, right? I then turn on the car. I put the heat all the way up or the cold all the way down, no matter what. I go extreme. And then after that, I'm going to like, I will adjust it to reality. But at first, it is going extreme, baby. And then I go onto my phone and I find what playlist I want to start. The playlist I choose will inform the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And
it defines your ride, honestly.
Of course. And it finds a lot of the time, the beginning of my day, the first song you hear of the day is, I think, more important than many people will give credit, or less. Anyway,
what was your first song today?
No idea, which is why I think perhaps it's less important than I give it credit for, because touché. I don't remember. Let's go Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry. That's not Love it, that. But I wish it was, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I then turn off the emergency brake because I don't allow my brakes to be doing extra work during the night. I respect them. And I then back out, you know?
Yeah.
And I leave, you know?
What a process.
This sucks. That sucked what just happened,
I think
actually.
It's hilarious.
I will say.
But like, why? Why do you feel so, why is there comfort in that process for you? Do you have any reasoning or just
No, it's because starting the day with a routine I know is going to be the same no matter what. Yeah. It's just very grounding for me. In a world, you know, Adam, in a world that is has all so hubbub and, you know,
just very ungrounded.
Ungrounded, I could you could also say
unhinged. Even
unhinged is a good term for it.
Yeah,
it really is. And doing something that is hinged at the beginning of my day, I think, just allows me to shake off the cobwebs,
yeah,
and get into it. Here's a poem called "Unhinged." Come on in and care. Show me you care for me a bit. Win my affection and earn my trust. Oh. The website I was on, just an ad came up and covered it, and it's one of those ads that won't go away. So that poem's the
worst.
And if you want to finish your own personal poems or anything else for that matter, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollar a month, you get these podcasts earlier and ad-free, plus extra bonus content, and you get to join a Discord where you get to tell us what you'd like us to make next, or just like complain with us, which is mainly what happens on Discords. And also, as an added benefit, Adam reads your name at the end of every main channel podcast, which is happening right now.
Yes, but before I read the list of lovely patrons that subscribe to us, I'm going to read you a poem, Ryan.
God, I love that.
It's called The Impossibility of Bad Poetry.
I love this.
A poem is born, somehow like men, and then is, like a flower or a razor blade, and lives forever like a saint. Will it slay me, or end this dirty vice, or teach, or pity? Turmoil? Miracle? A tender connection needs truth, needs beauty. Poetry? End poem.
Every poem should end with poetry?
Thank you, Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging, Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle for your subscriptions. I love that this list is getting longer. Please make me read more names. We'd also like to shout out to Sunshine and Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patrons. Thank you so much for what you do for us. It just allows us to be pretty chill and create content for you all. And we hope that you like it. And, you know, we like doing it. So, you know, it's kind of a two-way street, guys.
Jesus. Kind of a two-way street. And you're not holding up your side of the bargain. How dare you?
Our current patrons are doing great.
Yeah. Right. You got aggressive at the end. I like that. Yeah. Poetry? Make me smile and know I mean it. When you've had your fill and the time is right for you, go on, throw me to the curb. But for now, go ahead and act sincere. Make sure to shine out my darkness. And don't forget to appear seamless. Remember to tell, forget to tell me, you are the one who's unhinged.
Poetry?
Poetry sucks, dude.